Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, we're back here on the Investor Coaching Show, Paul Winkler, along with Ann Swosky and Evan Barner, talking money and investing. And about a month ago, I actually was asked to teach, and on a regular basis get asked to teach, they have a financial stewardship thing over at Trevecca, and the idea is all the kids that go there go through this so that they get their finances straight or get some kind of a good idea about money. And a lot of times kids go through high school, they come out of college, and they don't have a clue, and they end up with debt up to their eyeballs, and they have no clue how to invest or anything like that. So, you know, they asked me if I would teach the investment part of things, and they gave me a bunch of questions. And a lot of times I'm like, oh man, I wish I had more time, because some of these questions are fantastic. And especially these particular ones that I've got in front of me were asked by the students themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and because, you know, sometimes as adults, we can ask questions, but it's our questions. And sometimes they're so complicated or they're so advanced and you know, that we miss some of the basics. So I love these questions. And a couple of them I've covered already, you know, talking about, you know, sacrifices you made along the way. Mm-hmm. When did you start investing? What was your most successful investment to date? And Evan, you actually had an answer to that when I did the segment.
When you guys were doing that segment, I had texted you, and my answer was attending a Zig Ziglar conference for a week between my junior and senior year in college. That was the most successful use of money, you know, and that I could put my hands on. It changed the direction.
I remember early on in my career when I started the company, I was talking to a guy, and we were talking about, you know, should I hire him to coach me on some things?
Oh, huh.
And I said, oh man, I'm going to do the Ben Franklin close on myself. I'm going to put all the reasons I should hire him on one column and all the reasons I shouldn't hire him on the other column. And the one where I should hire him, that was about 3-4 things. And the reasons I shouldn't hire him was 3-4 pages.
Oh gosh.
And I will never forget how he actually got me to hire him. He goes, Paul, put the paper away. I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Put the paper away. He said, do you invest? And I said, yeah, because I ran an investment company. It was very new. I stunk at running a company. I was great at investing. I stunk at running a company because I had no clue. And he goes, invest in yourself.
Yep.
And I will never forget that. Invest in yourself. And that was such a good piece of advice, because we don't know what we don't know. Does that sound familiar?
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah, so
very
true.
Very much so.
So, you know, that, yeah, what best investment. Now, another question was, how do you keep track on your retirement was a question. How do you keep track? And I thought I'd let you guys go on that one. How do you keep track because you start planning, and how do you make sure that you're on track for the future? How would you either one of you answer that one?
I would initially respond that it is a moving target, and so you have to be aware of that. You know, you just referenced, we don't know what we don't know. And so we'll construct a financial plan and say, okay, if we invest X amount of dollars at this amount of risk and return that we can handle, and 65, if we spend, you know, X minus Y, we're okay. And at least annually, you would just want to do two things. One, if your goals haven't changed, just compare that track that you created to the track you're actually on, slightly above or slightly below. And if your income has shifted, if your job has shifted, oh, now I have a child, and so I may retire at 66 because I got to pay for college. I think you do both things. I think you have to revisit your goals at least annually. You may not change them, but just look at them and see.
Right. Well, and I think that's very true simply because, you know, you talked about how your goals may change. One of the ways your goals may change that you don't even think about is that you become more successful than you thought you'd be. And what we know is that, as a friend of mine used to call it, the gas principles, gas expands to fill a vacuum. We will typically tend to change our savings. Let's say that you go in the beginning and go, I need a $50,000 a year retirement. That's what I would be happy with. But then you're making $150,000, let's say. And all of a sudden, you're on track for a $50,000 a year retirement.
You're retiring on a third of your income. Yeah.
Well, you know, I tell visitors typically when they come out to the house, oftentimes there's a little ranch house on kind of the front of the property. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, you know, when the kids were little, we used to go to Tom Raper RVs up in Indiana. And they had campers on one side of the road, and then they had modular homes on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is back when we said if it cost 50 cents to get around the world, I couldn't have gotten out of sight. And
that's funny.
We'd go there after church because they had free hot dogs.
Yeah.
And we could get hot dogs for the kids. And we would go sit in these modular homes, mm-hmm. and one of them always had Shrek playing. And so it became known as the Shrek house in the house. And that was our fantasy, was we could get a 4-bedroom modular home. Mm-hmm. Each of the kids would have a bedroom and we'd have a bedroom.
Right.
That was our dream.
And not only that, but, you know, I think in terms of, you know, I have family members, one that is coming to mind in particular, that what happened when he was near retirement, and he was maybe 10 years to retirement, I should say, his daughter became a quadriplegic. Mm. And all of a sudden, his entire life changed, all of a sudden now everything had to change. So, and I was helping him with planning back in those days and going, how do we deal with this? What are we going to do? We got to change. So you might have circumstantial changes in your life. Maybe marriage changes could be a possibility. Could be that, you know, something health-wise happens to you or the spouse. Maybe you were planning on doing a lot of traveling, and that's maybe out of the picture, or you weren't planning on doing traveling.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now that is part of the picture, and you're going, wow, I'd like to do this before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now you have to be thinking about those types of things.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this. I think about technology that may be coming down the road that you want. And I always tell people to plan for those types of things. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and continue on this topic right after this. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20 plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon. So keeping track on retirement, let's kind of revisit that and keep going with that particular topic, because how many tax laws? Can you guys think of how many tax law changes we've had in just the past?
Major tax laws?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or even minor.
82, yeah, 86, 94.
Once at
a bet eight major changes since I've been a practitioner.
Yeah, really big. And then, you know,
thousands of pages in the tax code. I mean, it changes every year, really.
It really does, and many times.
Yeah.
You know, so when we look at retirement planning, we go, how can you ever keep up with all the different things that are out there? So that would be a reason. You know, all of a sudden, maybe you're using one type of an investment vehicle because it's most tax advantaged. And then, you know, it used to be, let me just give you one example. We used to talk about when you had an order in retirement, you started off with your non-qualified investments. Then you went with your qualified investments and you did your Roths last or pre-tax qualified, and then you did your Roths last. That was always the order of operations. Not necessarily. It's a lot more creative these days.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to really be thinking through, you know, and then you got to be thinking about, well, oh my goodness, tax law changes that were set up are going to be sunsetting, you know, and then you got to be thinking about what do we do after they sunset?
Yeah, tax bracket changes, all sorts of things. But the thing, I mean, I think this question originally was, I think, college students asking, what do we do? And so I think when you're talking about that fundamental, I mean, and you have a 20-something coming out of school and all of a sudden they're earning more than they ever did in their life, I think the best thing to tell them is start your 401k as soon as possible.
And at what percentage?
I would do 10%, but a lot of people...
I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, that might seem like a lot, but then at least tweak it up every year until you get to that.
Start at three and then put your raises in there every year.
Right. That's what I tell people.
Yeah, for sure. And then by, you know, so you get a 3% raise and then 5 years later, you're putting 15% away if you think about
it
that way.
Exactly. So, so, I mean, that's because when you're in your 20s, to your point, Evan, it's really hard for you to see out 40 years and go, well, I'm going to need this amount of money. But if you can at least get started
earlier,
as early as possible, saving and investing properly, I mean, you have just the power of time on your side.
You bring me back to a meeting I had with a gentleman probably a good 33 years ago. And I'll never forget this meeting with this guy. And I was projecting how much money he would need to put away to get to retirement. And I will never forget the look on his face when I told him how much money he'd need. And you know what the effect was?
He didn't try.
You got it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even
Why bother?
Yeah. I'll never get there. And the reality of it was he didn't recognize the power of markets. And neither did I at that time.
Right.
You know, I wasn't, you know, any kind of academic training 33 years ago. So I didn't either. But I kind of knew, you know, about how much he should be saving. But when he saw that number, it was so overwhelming.
Yep.
He didn't even do anything.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was...
I've seen that too. That's devastating to have that happen.
So, yeah, that's why I like the percentage route that you're talking and just going, hey, you know, just get to this percentage and then just, you know, it'll come out in the wash if you're just putting everything, you know, this amount away.
And you just invest properly and you're getting the match and... You know, I think that's a lot for somebody in their 20s right there.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And another question that came up was, you know, what strategies help you best in the process of planning for the future? What were the strategies and what would you say things that helped you in the process of preparing for retirement or preparing for, you know, investing for retirement? Now, I'll throw out a couple things that I think of right away. Number one is I like to think of everything as a castle and a moat. You know, so I think of financial planning as a two-pronged process where I'm building the castle, which is my assets, and then the moat around it is protecting them, making sure that, you know, I have auto and liability insurance, homeowners insurance, Social Security that I keep up on my Social Security.
Wills,
trusts, you know, life insurance, disability insurance, and those types of things. And you know, then that way, now that I've thought about it as a two-pronged process, now I can think holistically about the plan. Then what I like is just looking at what's available to me from a standpoint of what is automatic. What can I do that I won't miss? And, you know, I don't know what you guys think of, but what comes to mind for you?
Well, I'm certainly a fan of the automatic stuff, totally. I tend to be a very visual person. And so separate from the mechanics of investing or the mechanics of purchasing life insurance or something, I value the quantifying of that issue as a very useful exercise. Meaning, if I don't have insurance, click the mouse, my wife is destitute in 9 years, you know, versus if you go get a term policy that's $1 million, your kids can go to college. You know, I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. I think it's very helpful to quantify the moat and quantify the castle so that you have a target, as opposed to, well, I don't know how much I'm going to need, and so I'll never have enough. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you get sidetracked with, well, do I need $100,000 of insurance? Do I need $1 million? You know, answering that question so then you can go shop, get some advice, find an agent, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you mm-hmm. do. I find that is, for me, one of the most helpful things.
Well, for me, a strategy standpoint, you might not think of as a strategy, is yeah. to have, you know, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. You know, so I look for somebody that really knew property and casualty insurance, you know, that really understood yeah. auto and homeowners insurance. Mm-hmm. I look for people that knew more than I did. And I was always looking for somebody that was getting the success in life that I wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And I remember hiring my first several mentors. They were just getting success in life in all different areas. Mm-hmm. Like when I wanted to know about investing, well, gee, there's a guy that won a Nobel Prize in economics, you know,
right.
or is going to, you know, we think he's going to, and he did, you know, so to me, that was key, because I looked around and I said, well, gosh, nobody seems to really know, oh, there is this academic research coming out. And, you know, and I'll never forget it. And the reason it's really important, because I was having a conversation with a pastor friend of mine today, and he was just talking about success, and I just said, you know, it's really interesting, because I look back and go, wow, you know, who really overcame almost insurmountable things, obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about how my income was less than $20,000 a year. I'll never forget it. It mm-hmm. was awful. You look at my Social Security income statements, and it was abysmal, bad. And I'll never forget being offered the opportunity to go study under these people, and it was going to cost me $40,000, double my annual income.
Wow.
You talk about something that's sobering. And I just looked at that, and I go, you know what? The more I learned about what I didn't know, the more I recognized I have to do this. I can't not do this. You've got to invest in yourself. So right. that to me is a strategy, investing in yourself, but yeah. surrounding yourself with people that know more than you do and know what you need to know, I think is critical. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors. And confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.